featuring Vince Gill, and the number is called Vintage Hearts. Let's sound out the studio team to start off with. Joe, what did you make of Vintage Hearts from Lo-Fi?
It sounds interesting. I've not heard that one before.
Well, that's because we released it last night, a special exclusive from our man in Nashville, founder of MapleStar Music and Media, of course, Cameron Tilbury. Kay, what did you make of
it? I really like that. I didn't. I felt like I'd heard it before, which is always a good thing. You know?
Precisely. And Ian Lennox, your thoughts?
I liked it a lot, actually. It was a very Nashville thing, wasn't it?
Win-win in every sense of the word. So, filmmaking, Ian. Speaking as somebody who's produced heaps of good documentaries and features in your time at Tyne Tees Television and so on, is Red Dog Film, from your point of view, a good idea, a good concept? We've heard about sort of social filmmakers, community filmmakers, very much in terms of that side of things. Is that the way forward, given the demise of things such as Tyne Tees?
Yes, I think there is a lot of sort of very small companies now starting up, and I think the crucial thing is, are they good enough? You know, if they're good, it's good. Yeah,
exactly.
But even so, I haven't seen any. Is it Red Dog?
It is indeed a Red Dog.
Yes, yeah. I haven't seen, you know, but I think anybody doing that sort of creative arts thing is you know, doing some that's important to them as well. And I think the main thing about the aspect of it, I think, is people get a lot of pleasure and enjoyment out of doing it.
Joe, what
is it? It's a creative thing, and I think it's good. I mean, I don't know what the finances of it are, because I've never had it go down that road.
Well,
I imagine it'd be quite tough at times. I'm sure there'll be some who will excel at it.
Crowdfunding. Joe, what is it about community filmmaking that appeals to yourself? I mean, is it a case of, well, it's just biding my time until I get my voice over working radio? what is it that appeals?
It's interesting to try and tell a story as such, tell a person's story, especially when it's someone trying to achieve a particular goal, however big the goal is. I mean, in terms of a charity group, whatever it is they're trying to do.
Really raise awareness of what they're about in many ways. And we saw it with the Commonwealth opening ceremony last night, where various filmmakers were accompanied by the likes of Chris Hoy and various other celebrities around the globe and doing that. Did you catch any of the opening ceremony, Ian, or did it?
No, I haven't seen anything yet. I heard it was quite good, though. But there was a hitch, wasn't it, when somebody couldn't open a canister or something.
Don't look at the hitches. It wouldn't be British if we didn't have a
hitch. Oh, every filmmaker looks at hitches.
I'm sure that once the referendum vote gets sorted through, then they can do their own thing. But anyway, that's a heavy political point there, which I'm sure will be opened up in a whole range of other ways. What advice, Ian, would you give to young filmmakers, young companies at this stage? You're wearing your hat as somebody who was one of Tyne Tees' finest and worked through a whole range of things there, and interviewed a whole stack of fine folk. What advice would you actually have for the likes of Joe and Kay and Red Dog Films in general?
Well, first of all, the subject matter, you should feel for it. If you're interested in it and passionate about it, you can't expect the viewer to be. So the selection's important. And then to know your subject, to do research before you start filming. To set up all the interviews and things like that, and to work out the places where you're going to film and what you know the budget you've got for it and that sort of stuff. It's just like working with a major television company, except the budget's changed really. I mean, the standards should be the same as far as standards are concerned. And learn by experience. Listen to people who have done the job for a long time. Not necessarily me, but be true to yourself, I think, really. I don't think that specifically know what sort of stuff Red Dog do, but when I was lecturing in journalism, I used to talk about the importance of nearness to things, and I used to say one of the most interesting papers that came through my door weren't the national papers or even the regional papers. It was the local news sheet, because the news was, you know, it was at once sort of by one stand it was very, very trivial, but it was also very important because it was near. And that, in that respect, I think community filmmakers can do a very important role.
I think you probably encapsulated the excitement of a company like Red Dog Films. What do you think, hey?
I think so. I think with Red Dog, they, because they've got so many different arms, and they do have the beautiful cinematography that they do for one arm, and Joe and I concentrate on the community films, it's a real broad spectrum.
It just works in every sense of the word. Ian Lennox, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the show today?
Yes, I have, yes.
And will you be back again next week?
No, I won't, will I?
No, be Canada, exactly. Somewhere in another time, another zone, another experience. Ian Lennox will return. We'll be with William Sidwell and more after the news from the Sky News Centre. Happy trails, Ian.
Goodbye now. The latest news and sport on Siren
107.3 FM, East Midlands Station of the Year. This is the Midweek Drive Morning Edition on Siren 107.3 FM.
Fantastic. OK, the weather today, highs of 25 degrees centigrade, lows of 15 degrees centigrade. Plenty of fine, sunny weather after the early morning slight dullness that we've actually had. Very warm inland and cool along the coast. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM. You can, of course, reach us at studio at sirenonline.co.uk. You can tweet, you can Facebook, you can social media us until you're happy with social media. Mediarising the whole thing. In the studio, we've got Kay and Joe Hayden, who actually, Kay, Red Dog Film isn't the only thing you do, Kay, because of course you're an academic as well at the University of Lincoln. Doing?
I am a part time lecturer here as a nurse. I work for the nursing team, so I'm a public health nurse by trade, and that's how I became involved with Red Dog Film, delivering the mental health prevention.
Exactly. So it all fits together seamlessly from that point of view. It's one of the reasons why when we first met, of course, you were delivering the fabulous Joseph Banks information that was coming through as far as the Lincoln Inspired was actually concerned. I think actually our callers are trying to actually get through to a variety of other sort of things on that point of view. It's exciting. This is live radio, live broadcasting in every sense of the word. And we're going to actually sort of hopefully focus in this particular production on the exciting world of Bupa with Dr. Annabelle Bentley talking about some of the cost impacts of Bupa and how actually it might be getting cheaper to go private. All that you've got left, your life's a mess, you've been cut probably an ideal number to launch Dr. Harold Katz, our dentist, who might be featured on the show later on this morning. If not, he was on last night's Midweek Drive, so you can always download the podcast from that point of view. So much to pack into the production, including a feature with Dr. Annabelle Bentley, the medical director for Bupa, who's going to be talking about the notion that private healthcare system in Britain needs a health check, according to people recently surveyed. All this and more after Brandon Flowers and his chaps. Asking that big question, is he a dancer? Is he something else? Is he just a killer? I did my best to notice when the call came down the line. Up to the platform of surrender, I was brought but I was kind. And sometimes I get nervous when I see an open door. Close your eyes, clear your heart. And as mentioned, a survey recently released, in fact, suggests that 34 to 55-year-olds, known as Generation X, are driving the need for change in the healthcare sector, demanding increasing transparency, with nearly half of those surveys saying the system lacks openness, and 43% saying they want a clearer breakdown in the costs, such as consultants' fees and treatments involved. To address this and more, we're delighted to welcome the medical director for Bupa, the legendary Dr. Annabelle Bentley, to the show. Annabelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Alex. I'm great, thank you. How are you?
Very well indeed. We've also got two fine folk in the studio. Kay Hayden, who in fact lectures in nursing at the University of Lincoln. Is that right?
I do, part-time lecturer.
Part-time lecturer and, of course, Kay's son, Joe. So interesting lines there. But let's get straight to the nub of this particular issue. This notion about Bupa and indeed your own little campaign, Annabelle, to challenge the status quo. The fact that actually costs could be driven down. Annabelle, share with us your thoughts on this survey to start off with.
That's right. When we spoke to 34 to 55 year olds, that's Generation X, they're demanding a lot more from private healthcare. And there's a couple of key findings, really. The main one is really they want much more transparency. So when we spoke to people, about half of them felt there was a lack of transparency. And what people really are asking for is about 22% of people, so that's one in five people, want more proof about the quality of care they'll get. We know the private sector provides fantastic care as a complement to the NHS, but when people with private health insurance are at that stage of seeing a specialist, they'd like a bit more proof about the quality. And particularly, sort of 7 in 10 people say they want to know how well their doctor or specialist is performing. Are they getting great, you know, outcomes? Is the patient getting better? Do they have a higher than usual level of complications, or do they have a very low rate? Because that will give people more confidence when they're going on that journey.
I'm often struck by how many of the traditional notions of doctors in the medical profession, such as, of course, the fictional Dr. Finlay, would actually cope with the current scenario of tests and various other things. On the one hand, it is quite good that we kind of can level it, can address this openness, but on the other hand, does it also lead to stresses within the medical profession when we've got league tables and all sorts of other factors working through that?
I think that's a really interesting question. I think overall, transparency within the healthcare system is good for all players in the system. So for patients, it's particularly good, and that's why Bupa is so focused on it, because it's about making sure people get access to better quality healthcare, more affordable healthcare when they go privately. I think particularly, I mean, I trained as a doctor, I trained as a surgeon. There have been really big changes in healthcare since I was in training, since I was working in the NHS. And for me, it's just immensely encouraging. It actually helps people improve their performance. So all this, whether you call it league tables, the bigger picture of being more transparent, giving feedback to people, it's essentially feedback on how they're performing. And without that feedback, you can't really know how you're doing. So having objective systems, making sure you understand what they mean and how you can use them, can be immensely helpful. So particularly in surgery, doctors get feedback on, say they're doing a certain operation. You know, your most basic feedback is, you know, what is the survival rate? But, you know, in modern healthcare, almost everybody survives their operation. That's not a terribly good measure. So you can also look at how fast people get better, how fast they go home from hospital. If they have complications like wound infections, actually you'd want to know if for some reason in the system you work in there was a problem. So if you get that feedback, it means you can change something and improve things for the better. And you can also get feedback, if you think about it. When I've spoken to doctors recently, what's also useful is when you see patients in just for a consultation, if you have feedback coming through those systems, that also helps you improve as a doctor. So the kind of questions Bupa asks of consultants who are treating patients with Bupa Health Insurance is, did the doctor give you enough time? Did the doctor take time to go through your options? Did the doctor explain things in plain language? Those kind of things that in that consultation are really important to make sure people are well informed, understand what's happening to them, and help them at what can be quite a stressful time in their lives.
You see, Annabelle, that's one of the reasons why you've developed such fantastic patient education materials as well. Let's briefly turn to Kay in the studio. Kay, does this resonate, what Annabelle's been saying, in terms of good practice?
Completely agree, yes. Mm. Couldn't agree more. Transparency, excellent, improves.
There we are. It's thumbs up from the healthcare systems at the University of Lincoln, Annabelle. So great stuff from that point of view, which we knew would be the case. Now, the other aspect, which I think is really wonderful, is that Bupa is seeking a price reduction of up to 15% or more from some major hospital providers for the benefit of hard-pressed customers. That's got to be good news, surely.
It is. I think we have to work very collaboratively with everybody in the sector. That's why the sector as a whole is calling for better transparency, really looking at costs very carefully so that we can offer good value healthcare to people. So it's important to understand, you know, throughout the patient journey where the costs are coming from. There has been a review of the private healthcare system recently by the Competition Commission, now the Competition and Markets Authority, looking at whether it is performing well for the benefit of customers. And there are many good points about private healthcare. People buy into the system as a complement to the NHS. But what we do feel we can do much better for customers is make sure they get good value for money. And that's why Damien Marmion, our managing director, who's also a doctor, has been calling for a 15% reduction or more in hospital groups across the sector. I mean, it depends a bit exactly where across the UK, but that is the requirement to get better value for our customers, and we'll work together to make that happen.
It's also important to stress as well, this in no way means that we're going all private, it's going to be like America, it's going to be terrible, we're not going to have an NHS system. No, it's a complementary service rather than a competitive one.
That's what I feel. It is very much complementary. Everybody in the UK who pays for private healthcare has already paid for their NHS cover. So for me, it's about helping the health system work better. It's providing a complement to the NHS. It's taking some of the pressure off the NHS. It's bringing more funds into healthcare and should benefit everybody. I don't think it's relevant to compare the UK to America. They're completely different systems.
I say that every time we link up with Los Angeles, but bless them, they still like to connect with us. I think they don't. They regret being a separate colony, but that's another issue for another debate. We talked about Generation X, of course. Generation Nextus coming through from that point of view. In terms of that whole system and challenging the status quo of the whole area, do you think overall, Annabelle, that we're heading in the right direction as far as the UK is concerned, and obviously with respect to Bupa?
Yes, I do, because I think the things that we're driving for are for the benefit of patients. So driving for greater transparency around quality, and in fact most of the major academic research shows that when you start measuring quality, measuring what we call health outcomes, which is really jargon for does the patient get better, do they get better in a reasonable time scale, and is that getting better, is it sustained, you know, a few years down the road, doesn't just go back to where they were before. So when you start to measure quality in healthcare systems and outcomes, actually what happens is there is a gradual shifting upwards of quality, because the very fact of measuring it, giving feedback to providers, the effect it has is that people who are not performing as well, it tends to reduce them performing further. So it has an overall effect in increasing quality. And you can look at various systems around the world, whether it's people measuring outcomes from cataract surgery, eye surgery, whether it's heart conditions, and in fact sort of a lot of the cardiology work and cardiothoracic, so surgery on the heart and other heart treatments. This is where there has been a lot of activity in this area already. And beginning to measure those outcomes, giving feedback to both doctors, hospitals, teams of people working together, overall has an effect on gradually shifting quality up.
Absolutely. I must admit, overall, a total agreement with the majority of areas that you've been working through. Still a little bit questionable in terms of scorecards, because I always think, well, what about the people who sort of finish bottom of the scorecards in various other bits and pieces? Not sure quite about the quantifying of the qualitative, but that's another issue for another debate. Annabelle, for the moment, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition today?
I've had a fantastic conversation with you. Is there anything else you'd like to cover? I mean, Generation X is a fascinating group to talk about. They're people that are now growing up, Generation X.
I think I'm one of them myself, actually. I am in that,
you know,
Generation X setup.
Are much more demanding than previous generations for lots of different reasons.
I don't know. 34 to 55-year-olds, we're not that demanding,
well,
really.
Well, we've got the internet. We've got access to a flood of information compared to our previous generations. We have more information than there are a number of hours in the day to deal with. So we face a very different future to our previous generations. I think partly because of access to information, but also because of, as I've mentioned before, transparency and the way healthcare is managed. And what it means is people are much more demanding about the quality of healthcare they get, but also the options and choices they have. They have far more choices and options now. So helping people understand and make sense of those is really important.
Often reminded of the classic line uttered by the Buddha, that where there is choice, there is misery. Don't worry, it's all right as long as Annabelle Bentley's on the case. You know, everything where I feel as though I've relaxed, chilled, just on the basis of that alone. The bedside manner is superb. So I take it, Dr. Annabelle Bentley, you'd be willing to join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of the fabulous work that obviously Bupa are doing with respect to the private healthcare system and more.
I'd love to, Alex. And if you're facing too many pages and choices on the internet, give me a call and maybe I can help you go through them.
There we are. The gift of discernment. Dr. Annabelle Bentley, we salute you. Take care now.
Thank you so much.